Good morning, folks. I am so glad you're here. I'm excited about this series, just because it could almost be awkward. I like awkward things. You know, out of me, you know, my hand was like, we should talk about being the church, the body of Christ, and Hannah's like, anatomy, and I'm like, great, people are going to be confused, but I like it, especially if they don't go here, if we put any advertising out there on when you do your check-in, you should take the graphic and say, we're talking about anatomy today in church, and that'll bring an interesting crowd, I think. So, very excited about this series, and guys, if you miss a Sunday, please listen to the podcast. This is something that is very important to what we do here. So, this week, something very exciting happened. I'm not talking about white linen night or anything like that. I'm talking about, what is it? The Olympics. Yeah, Olympics. Come on, guys. You're not into the Olympics? Yes. Okay. All right. We went to the baseball game on Friday night, and Gage was so excited. It was very cool. Gage loved it. But that was the opening ceremonies day, so we didn't get to see it. So luckily, I don't have cable. I don't have NBC Sports. And so luckily, my Xbox is fancy enough that has an app. And then I have a friend who has a code that I can use. So I was able to give Hannah the Olympics, and she was very thankful. She loves the Olympics. She loves the opening ceremonies. And I got to say, this year was pretty cool. Some people have mixed decisions. I mean, that's how every year people have mixed reviews on opening ceremonies. But I liked it. I thought it was really cool to learn kind of the history of Brazil and where it came from and how molded it is. It's almost just probably just as diverse as the U.S. of A is. Some of it's from a negative past, some of it's from a positive past. It's just like the good old United States of America. So really cool to learn that, to see all the colors. And from the talk about, I thought it was funny how they had to make sure and put the plane in there. So apparently Brazil feels like they were the first to fly. Like it wasn't the Wright brothers. And they were saying that the Wright brothers had no witnesses. So they're claiming that, you know, they're liars, that kind of thing. And so I thought, what a weird thing, you know, to say, no, that was us. You know, I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm like, it doesn't matter. I saw the model of it. I don't know how it would have worked as far as them flying it, but I'm no, ask Steve about that. He would know more about airplanes than I do. So he's the engineer. Anyways, so it was really cool to watch that, and a lot of fun to see all the colors and see all the different types of Giselle. I had no idea Giselle was like, it's like one of the most popular things to come out of Brazil, and that was her last catwalk, apparently, at that time. That was the final catwalk she's ever done, and good for her. It was a long, long walk. She walked the whole stadium. She didn't fall or anything. Good for her, because I was nervous for her. I was like, man, that's a long walk and one spotlight, and she was walking with purpose. And so that's the moment people usually fall. But she made it there. It was a lot of fun. We just love it. You know, it's just to see the melting pot that happens at the Olympics. Some people aren't so interested in Olympics anymore. And that's okay. But I think once they get to the point of why the Olympics exists, and once you see why it's there and why we do it, and it really begins, that's when it gets exciting again. To see all these nations come together, it's like the only thing in the world as far as a large public that gets together every 4 years to celebrate something, to be together and celebrate unity and love and to celebrate different cultures and that thing. So it's really cool. And it's awesome that the Olympics are able to facilitate it in areas that couldn't do it on their own otherwise. I thought it was Brazil is a, it's a interesting area. It would be a hard place to have something. There's a lot of poverty there, but they were able to pull it off, which I think is great. And it's going to boost that economy. It's going to give them some pride of ownership in their land. And then from there, it just gets better and better because people will say, hey, we are valuable. This is a place of value. And so really cool. But we love the Olympics. And so we enjoyed the ceremony and we enjoyed all that, all the dancing, the outfits. Some of them I couldn't wear modestly, but that's okay. It's Brazil. They're known for that. But one of the cool things it got to, and Hannah were like, man, we were really impressed by this. It was when it got to the end, you have to wait by all the nations that come through. They walk kind of slow. I mean, they should kind of, come on, pick it up, guys. Man, it took a long time to get to that end. And we got to the end, and so the president of the Olympics stands up, and he gives this speech. I don't think I've ever really watched that part because it's kind of like the Super Bowl. Most people watch for the halftime. You know, most people watch for the opening ceremony. And for whatever reason, this time I'm just like, maybe I'm getting older. Maybe that's what it is. That's the realization of it. I'm just getting older. Words excite me. And so I sat and watched it. And so I'm listening to him speak. And of course, he's like French or something. He's got this beautiful voice and it's rolling off the tongue and it's captivating. And but I start listening to the words of what he's saying and like why the Olympics exists and why we're here. And I'm like, wow, that is beautiful. That is awesome. It makes you understand why they put so much effort into this because of the purpose that it has to them. And he's like not saying that, man, we're going to fix everybody's problems or anything like that, but we can start something. We can start something. And he's talking about the different lands and being where they are. And even in the midst of he had no idea this either. There's like presidential conflict going on. And I didn't catch it, but I read an article later that the interim was getting booed. And then somebody else got up and spoke, and like they were setting off fireworks to try to drown out the booing. there was some turmoil going on in the land there, but amidst that, there was still this beautiful thing happening. People could say get past that and say, okay, but we're still here to do something greater. And there was something that the president said. I mean, the president of the Olympics said that I thought was just, wow, that's eye-opening. That's very cool. I'm going to read it to you guys. And he said a lot of great things. I'm not going to discount, but there's just one thing that he said. He said, we are living in a world of crisis, mistrust, and uncertainty. Here's our Olympic answer. The 10,000 best Olympic athletes competing with each other at the same time, living peacefully together in one Olympic village, sharing their meals and their emotions. He's identifying, hey, we know there's a lot of problems right now, especially in where we're meeting. There's a lot going on. And we're not going to have all the answers. But he said, this is our answer to the problem. This is what we propose. We try now to start something good. That we're going to take these 10,000 people that are very diverse, very, very different, and some of them can't even have pride in their own nation because they're refugees. I almost cried when I saw that. I thought that was so amazing that they made a refugee team. I don't know if in the past if that was a thing. I guess it was the first thing they did, first time they did it. And so absolutely amazing. So cool. So even the refugees could take pride in humanity because they got to live in this Olympic village and share meals with them and share emotions. He's basically getting it. Hey, we're not perfect. We know. But we can try. And how we can try, I thought it was just so poetic. Because he didn't just say an ideal. There was action to his words. Share meals and share emotions. What's that called? The fancy church word that's overused, it's called fellowship, is what that's called. They have fellowship halls, and they have fellowship of the blah, 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 and fellowship this. And it was a hit word in the 90s, and so everybody named their buildings after and churches after it. It's been overused. But basically, that's what that is. That's what that is. That's how you get to know somebody on a real level. If anybody has been a Christian for any time, they know that just coming at somebody with hard facts doesn't do a thing. Well, the scripture says this, and the person that doesn't believe is like, well, I don't respect the scripture, so what they do is they make a relationship with them. Why should they trust in that scripture? Because they trust you. So the starting point is trusting each other. So with these 10,000 athletes, they're like the petri dish for beginning to trust each other. So every 4 years we do this, and some could argue, oh, it doesn't do anything, it doesn't work. I think it does. Anything like that does, because that's planting a seed. And another beautiful thing that they did, which I thought was so cool, because of the ice, the Antarctica melting and all this stuff, and water's going to be a problem, you know, all this stuff. But they did this really cool thing where each athlete, when they walked into the stadium, they took a seed out of a little planter thing. They took a seed, and the idea is, no, is that wrong? They put a seat in, sorry. They brought a seat in and they put it in the planter thing. And the idea is that they're going to take those and they're going to plant them in the rainforest. So 10,000 trees are going to be planted back into the rainforest to help them keep thriving in Brazil, to help them. That's great, and then that's happening, but then there's also a social seed that's being planted by doing that. And so it's very powerful, a very cool thing. And the amazing thing is when a group of people comes together for a common goal, how powerful that can be, how powerful the Olympics is. The Olympics aren't powerful because of the athletes. Yeah, there are some powerful people there. They can run super fast. And I mean, we all have these visions of grandeur of maybe I can be in the Olympics. I'll take up ping pong. I watched ping pong, couldn't beat them. I'm pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty good at ping pong, right? I have a 4-year college degree in ping pong. I was better in ping pong than I was making good grades. And so we had one in our dorm. It's a shameful thing. But I couldn't even do that. So there is powerful people that are there, but what makes it so powerful is the vision that they all share. You have this diverse people there, all from literally every corner of the earth in representation, but they all share in the same vision. That is very, very powerful. Not all doing the same thing, all different, competing in different things, different shapes, different sizes, but sharing the same vision. Through life, we all get to experience such things, right? The most common, and I talk a lot about, is sports, right? Sports, that is like the easiest track, you know, because it's based on a certain time, and there's goal. It's very defined. This is the goal. This is what you want to do. It's your team, and da-da-da-da-da. And so it's real easy to get involved, and you share in the same purpose. Man, like at the Super Bowl, like, all they're doing, truly, it's just a group of strong guys beating each other up, trying to get a dead pig skin that's filled with air into another area. Yeah, that's all it really is. So the logic of it is kind of like, why would this be exciting? That's not the exciting part. It's the shared vision that each team has that, hey, I want the exact opposite of what you want. And so we're sharing in a vision to go against each other to try to see who can do it the most, who's stronger. That's what makes it exciting. You could totally change the game. You could change it to a dart or something. I don't know. You could be rolling a car back and forth. It doesn't matter what you're doing. I mean, you got rugby. It's the same. Whatever. There's so many sports out there, and that's the easiest form for you to share a vision, and it's exciting. You feel this welling up inside of you, and luckily, I get to play sports. I get to play baseball, and most of the time, I was the underdog. Most of the time, because I wasn't as gifted as my fellow friends, but I practiced a lot, and so I was able to compete. And so there was many times that I pitched, and I got to the point to where there was this cool part in the game that I got to show off. Like, whatever I practiced on for that time, my team was behind me, and I was striking them out and kind of blown away. You know, it's just exhilarating to be a part of something with that. You can find that in work. Some of you work for companies that you love. Some don't. That's okay. but it usually can be centered around the company doesn't share a vision if you don't like it. It's usually they're out for themselves. But when a company shares a vision, a common goal, people tend to really love going to work. The people at Chick-fil-A seem to really love going to work. But essentially, all they're doing is handing out chicken, you know? It's good chicken. You're right. It's good chicken. Great chicken. The vision in that chicken is just awesome. They do a great job. But there's this ideal there. There's this vision that they all share. It makes it really good. Summer Lovin', the thing that we just did, it felt great, right? Man, every time I get to brag about you guys, it feels awesome. It's exhilarating. I feel almost bad about it because it's a little selfish. I'm like, yeah, look what we did, you know, that kind of thing. But it is amazing. And on the day of, I don't know about you guys, even though I was just sweating and toiling inside the attic and I'm yelling at Tanner, saying some choice words probably, you know, because it's just how hot it is. And I'm like, Tanner, hurry up, you know, kind of thing. Vice versa. He also did it to me when I was up in the attic. You know, he's not that innocent, all right? So I didn't pollute his virgin ears or anything. So even in the midst even in the midst of that, it still felt great. Because when I was in the attic, I was like, man, I could just cut a corner here and, you know, and refashion what they already had, which wasn't really done right in the first place, whoever owned it before. But then I was like, no, we're here for a purpose. We're here, we're sharing a vision together. I wouldn't be doing you guys right if Danny's downstairs laying perfect. I mean, he did an awesome job laying perfect wood down there, laying it out. And when people get him in the attic and like the ceiling fan's all janky and stuff like that, you know, I wouldn't be doing justice to you guys. So we all shared a vision. And because of that, we did something great. It was really good. Guys, they were so excited. And we haven't delivered it yet because we're still waiting for some people to drop some funds off that they said they're giving. And so when we go to Dan's House of Hope, we get to proudly drop stuff off and say, hey, we did this for you. We got this for you because we love you. And we share a vision that we want to support our community. So thank you guys so much for sharing in that vision with us and working together with us. When we acknowledge a system or entity that has a purpose, it gives us the opportunity to accomplish bigger things because we work together. So this is a human condition, right? This is the way humans were meant to be. And it hasn't changed over the years. This isn't something new. This is something that's always been there. And so this is something that Paul addresses with the Church of Corinth. See, Paul started the Church of Corinth. He was a church planter. I don't want to say I'm like Paul, but, you know, we're in the same business. So he has way better accolades than me. His resume is way better. But Paul saw this. So Paul started the Corinthian church in, it sounds so funny to say this because it's like, it's just two numbers, in 50, AD 50. That's when he started the church, right, in Corinth. And I'm sure it was tough for him. I'm sure it was really hard, you know, especially in that time. There's so much diversity as far as religions and paganism and stuff like that. And people would be killed for their beliefs. And so he started this church in Corinth, right? A couple of years later, about 6 years, AD 56, he writes his first letter to them. Okay, so you can imagine over 6 years, 5 years, whatever the development process was, that when they first hit the ground running, they're like, yes, Jesus, yes, his teachings, let's do this. And they shared this vision, and they were like, yeah. And man, they were hitting the streets. Talked a little bit about last week. They were adopting pagan children and all these things, which was unheard of at the time. They were radical, and it was fast moving and exciting and joyful. But as you know, if you're older, time progresses and things don't, it turns into a norm, and it's not so exciting anymore, and they begin to lose that oomph that they had to get after it, whatever, dig in. And so Paul knew that he needed to address them and give them some vision. They lacked cohesion after the years. They begin to not see it as the big picture, but begin to see it as individual. See, Paul knew in unity they could achieve bigger things because he knew that's why humans were built. So in Paul's timing of this analogy is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant in this timing. So because we know it now, the body of Christ, we've heard it so many times, just like we've heard fellowship, you know, it's just so many times. After a while, it's like it's just a norm, and it's like, okay, it just turns into white noise. But in this time, this was new. This was a new analogy. Just 50 years before that, Christ was using the example of my body. This is my body, and doing communion, things like that. So being able to introduce this idea, it made sense, but man, it was so perfect for the time. So Paul really had some brilliance in talking about this and using this analogy. And so don't discount this, you know, as just, oh, we understand the body, whatever, because they didn't even understand the body then, right? They don't know it the way we do now. And so don't discount that. Just remember, it was brilliant for its time. Remember, Paul was a very smart man in using this. So, today we're going to be looking at, as through the series, we're going to go through this whole passage of Scripture, breaking up. And so the first breakup that we're going to talk about is 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. And he's addressing the Corinthians. And this is what he said. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into the body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we and all were made to drink of one Spirit. I'd like to point out first that we hear slaves, we hear certain things. Slaves in that time were like bond servants. They were serving at the time. That's what the term slave was for that time. So they're saying that anybody that was in submission to somebody, anybody that had nobody, like they were free, they had nothing, that's what that meant. Jews and Greeks, of course, were stark differences. And so he's like laying out the framework. He's drawing a picture for the people. So the body-like unity of Christians, see, when we look at it, we tend to do this. We see it as a goal. The body-like of a Christian, of the Christian church, it's not a goal. It's not something that you achieve. It's something that exists. It's a fact. It's what you are, right? So 2,000 years ago, although this analogy was created, the thing that was already existed in there already existed. So this wasn't really a new thing. It was there, just people couldn't see it. They couldn't understand what existed already and how to properly use it. It's very important to know that. Because in that time, he was telling them, basically, look, you're already a part of something. This isn't a membership meeting. This isn't a, oh, do you want to be a member now? Now you got to sign off on here. You believe in Jesus. Now you want to join the church. You know, it wasn't that. He said, you're already a part of something. There's something already working. It exists. And so the power of the living body of Christ, the power of that, the body of people, because it already exists, because it's already there, it transcends diversity. It transcends differences amongst people. It transcends all of this color of skin, language, because it's all based on the same thing. You see, just like, so using the example of the human body, just like every cell of the body is connected, it's all made up with a DNA. There's a DNA, there's a same thread that goes through everything, through the whole body, and then it grows from there. See, my hand, same DNA that's in my chest, and then my leg, but my members look different, right? Because I'm not all hands, you know. I'm not all, you know, all leg, you know. You know what I'm saying? Because it all makes up something different. So although the DNA is the same, it's all created the same, it all looks different. It all serves a different purpose. Do different things throughout your body. So before we can actually delve into the importance of the members, before I can say, as far as a church is concerned, what does it matter for the arm? Before Paul can get to that point, he's trying to tell them, look, there's something that exists already. You're a part of a DNA. When you chose to believe in Christ, when you chose to subscribe to Jesus and his teachings, you became a part of something. Whether you knew it or not, you joined something. And so he's helping them see that there's something that exists here already. Before I can tell you what's important as far as what you serve to the body, it's very important. Paul's revealing to the Corinthians that they served a much bigger picture. Paul's revealing to us that we are a part of a bigger picture. He's helping them, he's giving them the vision aspect. He's saying, now let's step back. Let's you're here, right? And you see what's going on. And he begins to see that there's some, because of the diversity in the people, because some were Greeks, some were Jews, some were slaves, some were free. He's beginning to see that because of their diversity and their different walks of life, they begin to clash. They're losing their cohesion. I would imagine Paul began to see that the Corinthian church began to lose its efficiency, began to lose its power that it had in the area, the influence that it had, the ability to take in orphans, the ability to serve. And so he said, okay, guys, we need to have a group huddle. We need to come back together. And I need you to realize that you've always been in a huddle, okay? You just weren't talking to each other. It's always been there. It's always existed. So understanding, them understanding they're a part of a bigger picture, they know, like when you look at a picture, what makes it a picture is that it's a picture of something that has different colors and things. If it's just one solid color, you wouldn't really call it a picture. That's more of a canvas. See, there's something to start with, okay? It's not a picture. Some art people might say it's art, but no, it's a canvas. It's somewhere to begin. And it's just a lazy artist, I guess. No offense, artists, if you're listening. Sorry. Man, bad timing. Understandably, in their moment, the whatever part they served in the big picture, they're like, okay, I'm the bush, you know, I'm the tree, and I'm going to be this tree. But the lack of sun that I get sometimes kind of hurts my tree, so I'm gonna push this pain away, or I'm going to try to change this picture so I can keep getting all the sun that I can, so I can keep being the best tree that I can. But then that part of the painting doesn't understand that it's messing with the rest of the painting. When you mess with that sun, it tears the canvas. It begins to mess up what's there. And Paul really needed them to understand they were more together than they understood. Because they were humans, they were built to do this together. And because they believed in the same thing, they're supposed to do it together to have better cohesion, to be better at what they do, to be a better church. So while you are navigating your life, right? So let's back to you. While you're navigating your life, just as the Corinthians, and even more so because of all the distraction, because in that time, life was a lot more simple. It was a lot more dangerous and risky because you had less to your disposal, but it was more simple. So it was easy for them to stay more focused on, why do I get up in the morning? Why do I do this? Why do I go to bed at night? Who provides my food? Where does this grow from? You know, that type of thing. Where does the sun? Well, how do I keep getting the sun that shines on me every day? I can understand in this culture, because there's so many distractions in front of us, and it's not a bad thing. It's not bad to have fun with stuff, to Pokemon Go, and to have Facebook, and to Netflix, and all that. It's okay to have those things. But when it becomes a distraction for your true purpose, when it becomes a distraction to the vision of what you're a part of, then it can hurt, because your actions that you choose affect the body of Christ. Every day that you get up, now it might not have the immediate, there's some things that you could do that would have immediate effect on the body of Christ. And when I say the body of Christ, I'm talking about Village Heights specifically right now. When you wake up in the morning and you do something, it could either, it's few things that you could either be very damaging, it would be pretty extreme and out of character, but there's things that you could do. But then there's other things that you just, normal, you wouldn't think would have an effect on Village Heights, and it does. So being a part of the body of Christ, you have a responsibility. I don't know if you came here today and wanted to hear that yeah, I'm putting more responsibility on you, but the responsibility was already there. Just as Paul was telling them that even though they don't know it, you're a part of this. Even though you don't know it, you're a part of this. You are family to Village Heights. So everything that you do could have either a good effect or a bad effect on Village Heights. And I would encourage you to have good effects. Now, I'm not saying that you have to be perfect. Not saying that at all, because we're all different. We're all diverse, and I love diversity, and I love it that we're not perfect. I love it that we're willing to say that we're not perfect. Because when you're in that place of life, when you say, okay, we're coming together, maybe not 10,000 right now, but whatever, 30, 40, whatever we are here at Village Heights, we come together in diversity, but we live in harmony. We share meals together. We share emotions together. That's when we get to affect our vision here, our purpose here, our entity in the community of who we are positively. Because of the individual decisions that you made to be a part of this collective group. Now, some churches, they get a little overboard and they don't explain that we want diversity. I'm not telling you that you need to quit your job and join Village Heights, because I can't pay you for one, but or to quit and do this or change. I'm not telling you to change. I'm just telling you to make your decisions to the vision. Because if we can individually choose to serve this vision that we've created, and we'll get to that in a second, but if we individually choose to do that, we can serve a greater purpose. We can bring cohesion to chaos. And as we grow, as more people find out about us in the Heights and into the Houston area, we begin to create more and more cohesion. Something, a heartbeat for them to say, man, I'm going to jump on this, and this feels right, this feels good, I feel safe here. Even though these people are different, I feel that I'm loved. I feel that I have purpose. And it all begins with you. You're each members of this body, and it cannot function if we don't have the same DNA. If our DNA is weird, we'll have four arms and no legs, you know? Or if that DNA doesn't know how to communicate, like if I'm talking to you and my arm is just constantly doing this, that would be distracting, right? It is right now, see? But my DNA can tell this arm to chill out, all right, while my mouth is talking. My head doesn't want to go a different direction than my eyes want to go. That would look weird too. So just as the same, you are a part of a body. And that as we stick to the vision and stay to it, we can navigate and we can be efficient. So my question for you today, and we'll get on to the big church stuff in just a second. My challenge for you for today and this week is to really ask yourself the question, do you subscribe to the teachings of Jesus? Can you tell them apart? Do you know what it is? Usually, it's almost the thing that's most against your selfish nature to do. That's the teachings of Jesus. Because he's always wanting you to go beyond yourself, to do something, to love somebody that's unlovable, to do something that wouldn't make sense to your own selfish nature. So do you subscribe to the teachings of Jesus? The things that we talk about here on Sunday, are you willing to try them? Now, I'm not saying you have to perfect them. You're never going to. I wouldn't want to put that goal in front of you. But are you willing to at least try? And then the next thing, do you share in our vision here at Village Heights? Are you willing to be Christ-centered? Are you willing to be audaciously generous? Are you willing to be community crafted? And then in our mission and what we do and how we function, because we have this little tagline, it's an infinity symbol, and it says faith compelling love, love compelling faith. So your faith compels you to love people in a way that they don't understand. And because of that love that they get to experience, it compels them back to faith. To say, where did this love come from? And that's where it is. Do you subscribe to that? Do you share in our vision? And if not, and you want to be a part of this family and really be a true member, a strong member of this family, start here. This is the beginning point. If you need a beginning point, a start point, a gunshot, this is a moment right here. Do it. Okay, so we have the awesome opportunity to build the body of Christ. Okay, there is a big church, big kingdom aspect out there, a lot of churches, and that's also the body of Christ, but we have the grand opportunity to design out this body of Christ, Village Heights body of Christ. And so we work really hard. Hannah and I have been working for 2 years, 2 years, 2.5 years, something like that, to design out the vision. Man, we toiled over it for months and months, oh, honestly, probably a year. It's we toiled over what defines Village Heights, because you can't take a body of Christ vision that works in one culture and move it to a different culture and expect it to work. Because you got to speak their language, it's different things, there's different needs, there's different ways to do things. So we spent a lot of time, and then the team joined together, and Tanner and Caitlin also have joined, and they help us too. We're always defining this, always trying to refine our vision to make it easy and simple to understand so that it's easy to follow. The Olympic vision is easy to follow. So why shouldn't Village Heights' vision be easy to follow? Because it doesn't have to be this big, complex thing, because they are able to achieve something on such a huge level. Why does ours have to be that complex? So we work hard to keep it simple, to keep it straightforward. We want to make sure that our DNA in our body of Christ, Village Heights, is the same. The vision is very important to what we do. So everything that we do falls in line with this vision. So every time we talk about doing an event or starting a group or making a position, whatever it may be, outreach, whatever it is, we first ask, how does this fall in line with the vision of our church? How does this serve? You know, and then we ask ourselves, is it Christ-centered? Is it audaciously generous? Is it community crafted? Usually when you hit community crafted, that's usually the, okay, maybe we shouldn't do that because it's not for this community. They don't need that. That's not something that is an apparent need at the moment, so we shouldn't do that. And so we dismiss it. Not that it's bad, not that it's a bad idea or anything like that, or there's not a need out there for that, but it's not for this community. And so because when we're doing that, it helps us refine our efforts so we can be more efficient. So as like just like an athlete in the Olympics, what are they always trying to do? They're always trying to refine their bodies to the specific thing that they do, the specific event. A track star isn't trying to become the fastest swimmer. You know, the girl that won the shooting, which was awesome, she didn't go swim to become good at shooting. You know what I'm saying? We don't do that. We don't refine in areas that aren't necessary to that moment. Not that we can't graduate to that or get to that. So in Village Heights, we're always trying to refine our vision and refine ourselves to that vision to make it work better, to make sure our DNA is pure. Because if our DNA is not pure, that's when you begin to see churches that are like, it doesn't make sense. Okay, so they're wanting to do a good thing. They believe in Jesus. Jesus is an awesome thing to jump on board with. But why isn't it working? Why aren't they serving the community? Why aren't they involved? Why does nobody know who they are, or who even is the pastor of it or runs it? How is this possible? It's because their DNA is messed up. 9 times out of 10, you could walk in there, and I could walk into some church, and I could identify it quickly. I said, well, your people are confused because your DNA is broken. You say this, but you don't do that. You do this, but you don't say anything about it. You have this person in this area, but they're hired to do this, so on and so forth. We are always trying to define who we are. And our growth and our vision, our DNA, as it comes more vitally functional, we will always strengthen it. So as our numbers grow, as we get bigger, our members, our DNA for those members is going to be more defined and more directional because it becomes more powerful. Just as an athlete gets more powerful and they build muscles, they begin, they just not just bench press anymore, but then they do specific muscles. That's intense. I haven't ever got to that level. I know you can't tell because I'm so ripped and I look so good. But but after a while, you know, they begin to focus on just a bicep or just tricep or shoulder or, you know, because they're more powerful, it's more defined. And so I hope that we become that as we grow. And this is where you come in again. Uh-oh, we lost our lights. All right, so we're going to keep talking. but somebody open the curtains at least. Oh, there he goes. I don't know. There's a squirrel jumping on the power line somewhere. The people listening to the podcast are going to be very confused. You might need to preface it when they come listen to this. So as Village Heights get stronger, we're going to call on you specifically. As we get bigger, we're going to call on you guys specifically to share in a specific part, to be a specific member of this church. Like, we might ask you to be the arm. And then as it get bigger, then the hand. And then one of the fingers, because we might get that specific. And I hope that we do, because as we get stronger, that means that we can do more. We can run faster. We can jump higher. We can do more for this community and do more for the body of Christ. But we need your help to do that. And today it starts here that you choose. Not to say that we haven't been doing it. Not to say that you didn't realize that you were a part of a body. But if you were confused and you didn't know, I'm telling you today, you are a part of something. Whether you liked it or not, you are a part of something. And we love that you're a part of it. We love that you're a part of this body. So I'm going to pray. And this week, truly ask yourself, when you go to pray in the morning or night or whenever you do that, talk with Jesus. Ask him to reveal to you where you are, your DNA is messed up, and where your spiritual DNA is messed up, and how you can correct it so you can be a better functional part of the body of Christ. And then our vision. If you don't know our vision, it's on the website. Go read it. Well, I think it's pretty good. It's a good read. And know that everything that we do is through that, and help us push that vision. Because the more people push in the right direction, we're going to go further and do more. Lord, I thank you so much for today. I thank you so much for this awesome, awesome group of people. I thank you for Village Heights. Lord, I thank you for the privilege and the honor it is to be able to be a big part of building out the body of Village Heights as it serves you and serves this community. Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom, give us clarity as we begin to build out this body. We decide who's going to be the ear, who's going to be the nose, who's going to be the arms. As we decide these questions, Lord, I pray that you just give us your anointing, your wisdom in making the right choices so that we don't have to take a step back, or we don't have to trim a limb off, whatever it is, God. I pray for your guidance in that, Lord, and thank you for the honor to do it. Lord, and I pray for Village Heights' future. Lord, as we grow, we're going to grow out of this building. We're going to grow out of the clothing of this church, of this body, Lord. And I pray that you are fashioning a place for us right now that can house us, Lord, a blessing place, a place that we can afford, a place that is more serving to the community, more loving, more opportunities for us to love our community and to show them we're there. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord. And I pray at this moment, you will help our hearts. You would help us see and feel your spirit so that we can know that we do subscribe to the teachings of you. Lord, I pray for opportunities to exercise those teachings. Lord, I pray for Village Heights, Lord, that we exercise those teachings and that we stick to our vision as we continue to refine it to serve the body of Christ. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. Keep us safe as we go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.